I don't think that that is accurate. I think that there was an enormous gulf between enslaved women and the white women who owned them or who lived in the families that owned them. I think that many white women disliked some elements of slavery in the South. They didn't like the fact that their husbands would slip down to the quarters at night and father children by slave women. But I think the vast majority of slaveholding women in the South were completely comfortable in most ways with the institution of slavery. They did not want to take on the work that slave women did. They didn't want to find themselves pulled off the position that they held and forced to make their way in a more difficult world. And I think most slave women, upon receiving their freedom, very quickly distanced themselves from their former owners, parted company as quickly as they could, and as I said, tried to set up their own form of this ideal of how a woman should behave and what kinds of work a woman should engage in. Major changes for black women in the South because of the war. Let's move to the front now and see some of the things that women did at the front during the Civil War. Start with the medical profession. Nursing is the biggest example of women entering the workforce here. This was a male profession before the war, as I've said. Black and white men were nurses early in the war, Walt Whitman being the most famous of the male nurses, I think, during the war. Women worked hard to gain acceptance as nurses. They were not welcome at first. Clara Barton worked very hard to have a presence on the battlefield. Ann Tietam was her first real experience in the field. It wasn't easy for her to get there and to do the work she did with the Union wounded at Antietam in September 1862. She would later go on to do a number of other things during the war, including work at Andersonville to try to identify the Union soldiers who had died in that Confederate prison camp throughout 1864 and into 1865. There were concerns on the part of many bureaucrats that it would be dangerous to put young women as nurses in close proximity to young men who'd been wounded, young men in the army, that somehow violated Victorian notions of propriety. And so Dorothea Dix, the head of Union nurses to combat that, insisted that only women over 30 be allowed to be nurses and said in writing that they should be as plain as possible. No attractive women should apply to be nurses. No young women should apply to be nurses. We will try to make these women as little appealing in a sexual sense as possible to the soldiers, and that will help avoid some of these problems. Like Louisa May Alcott, who had to be sent home because of her illness, many other nurses faced unsanitary conditions, ripe with dysentery, typhoid, other infectious diseases, and suffered tremendously, as well as from a routine that tended to be very boring most of the time and then have enormous influxes of wounded after battles when the nurses would be overwhelmed. A Pennsylvania woman captured the exhaustion that she felt in her diary. She said, "I am wet through and through, every garment saturated. I derobed and bathing with bay rum was glad to lie down, every bone aching, head and heart throbbing, unwilling to cease work where so much was to be done and yet wholly unwilling to do more. There I lay with the sick, wounded, and dying all around and slept from sheer exhaustion, the last sounds falling upon my ears being groans from the operating room." Just completely worn out this woman was. That would be a common experience. Most northern nurses were middle-class white women who hadn't previously worked away from home. Many had been inspired by Florence Nightingale's example during the Crimean War. An account of Nightingale's service in the war had come out just before the Civil War. About half of them left a child at home to go to the front. Some were widowed. Some wanted to be near their spouses. Some hoped to take part in the great experience of their lifetime. There was one woman doctor who stood out, a woman named Mary Walker. She received a commission as an Army surgeon. She was awarded a Medal of Honor, but the Medal of Honor was revoked in 1917 on the grounds that only soldiers could be recognized. She, during the war, angered and shocked many observers because she wore men's clothes, Mary Walker did. She was called a madwoman, but she was quite effective. By the end of the war, women's place in nursing was assured. Women's place as a surgeon or a physician was not in the same position because of the war. All right, nurses. What about soldiers?